boldly goings on at the frontier. It is curious how the very phrase Northwest Frontier continues to resonate, even in these post-imperial times. That particular frontier, which ran for 1,000 miles in between what is now Pakistan and Afghanistan, was to Britain and India what the Wild West was to the USA, a place in the mind as much as a place on the map. However, in the 1970s, when the Indian Empire stopped being generally regarded as something vaguely embarrassing, connected with heavily mustachioed boars, elephant foot umbrella stands, and photographs of granny being carried in a dooley, and became fashionable as a theme for books and films, it was not the frontier that aroused affection and nostalgia, but the Raj. A very different kettle of fish. One of the key source books of the Raj revival came out in 1975, Plain Tales from the Raj, based on many hours of interviews conducted by Charles Allen for radio. He himself was something of an old Indian hand, having been born in Cawnpore in the twilight of British rule into a family with a long record of Indian service. He came out with several more books and then a superbly expert, dramatically thoughtful account of one of his forebears, John Nicholson Dash, and others of the bands known as Henry Lawrence's Young Men, who as a tough generation of Anglo-Indians annexed and then administered the Northwest Frontier area in the 1840s and 1850s. It's a bewilderingly complicated story, but basically Nicholson and his soldier Sahib contemporaries, like Harry Lumsden of the Guides and Hodson, of Hodson's Horse, arrived in India to fight in what was then the East India Company's Bengal Army. Usually the younger sons of the landed gentry and invariably of Scottish or Irish extraction, they thought of themselves as Englishmen, Ed, well, who wouldn't? Drawn to India in search of profit, reputation and adventure, but also out of feelings of fervent evangelical Christianity and confident moral purpose, they believed it was a glorious fate to die in the service of their country, and many of them duly did. Their opponents in the mountains and valleys of the northwest, along the Afghan border, were firstly the Afghans themselves, then the Sikhs and also them many different tribal groups known collectively as the Pakhtun. These people were famously proud and bloodthirsty, fiercely loyal to their friends and leaders and appallingly cruel and treacherous to their enemies. Given that friends, leaders, and enemies were interchangeable at the drop of a pagri or exchange of gold coin, it was indeed a different world. The many battles, uprisings, ambushes and massacres of the frontier during this period, as the young Englishmen struggled to bring the area under control, tell of remarkable courage and stamina on both sides, but would be completely familiar to those who have served in the general area more recently. Not long after arriving in India and on patrol, John Nicholson found the body of his 18-year-old brother, Alexander, lying among the rocks of the Khyber Pass. He was naked, and his genitals had been cut off and stuffed in his mouth. John was then 20, and this ghastly event helped turn him into a war-hardened adult with a clear sense of destiny. He certainly became a soldier and administrator of legendary prowess, but also a man renowned for the floggings, forcing an Indian who had spat in his presence to lick the spittle off the ground, and who once displayed the severed head of an enemy in his office for several days. Grown-up boy's own adventure stuff, but singularly significant that hardly any background material survives as to the personal lives of the soldier sahibs. The memoirs they wrote later in life did not reveal much, nor did such letters written home as have survived. Certainly women played little or no part in their lives. Nicholson never married. Those of his group that did, married late in life and with rare exceptions rarely involved their wives in their exploits. Their emotional energies were channeled into their patriotism, their religion, and to some extent into their intense, but rarely platonic, friendships with each other. In many respects they were akin to the modern-day Taliban. There was certainly a striking affinity and mutual respect existing between the mostly English public schoolboys and their mountain warrior opponents. For both, physical courage was everything, and women were a race apart. Most of those who served and survived on the Northwest frontier were also drawn into the events of the Indian Mutiny. In the siege and recapture of Delhi in 1857, Nicholson, then a general, lost his life whilst leading from the front. Sir Henry Lawrence, his old patron, had already been killed defending the residency in Lucknow. These two events, which saved and established the Raj, soon passed into imperial legend. Undoubtedly, moral confusion still colors our attitudes to men like Nicholson, and to British rule in India in general, but whilst the history books tend to dull the pattern of the period, if a puffin was seeking a taste of exploits on the northwest frontier and Indian mutiny, they could do worse than read two books of the Flashman Papers, Flashman and Flashman in the Great Game. Written by the incomparable George MacDonald Fraser, they combine a fictional storyline with astonishingly well-researched background material on the characters of this article. Unreservedly recommended. Copyright 2021 DJM.